Shalom, Haverim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my effervescent wife and Bible teacher, Reverend Sheeta Crawford.
Okay, shalom to all as well, and may God's favor be upon all our listeners today as we ask for God's blessing.
Okay, Lord God, we covet your Holy Spirit and petition your wisdom in all our deeds as we bend that bow against our enemy, because there is victory in the name of Jesus. We pray for our families, that they be Christ-centered children of excellence. We thank you for our many blessings, and may our deeds ascend up to you, a sweet essence, as our hearts long to see your face. Please watch over your church, heal our infirmities, and keep our burdens light. May we hear clearly when you speak to our minds, especially when you remind us to open up your word. May today's teaching, may today's program bring a smile to your face. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, he finally did it. President Trump has invoked his right to call a national emergency in order to pull funds from other sources to build his barrier. Now, we all know the lower courts will deny it, but we are assuming the Supreme Court will then rule over the lower courts. But I wouldn't be so sure. You know, liberal Ruth Ginsburg is back.
Yeah, you know, that's amazing in itself.
I know, for sure. And we have seen how the so-called conservative judges have not always voted as we expect.
Especially Justice Roberts.
And I know that Justice Kavanaugh will vote how the global elite, who really run this country, tell him to. As a reminder, he was highly recommended by President Bush to President Trump as well, and has already disappointed us over the Planned Parenthood defunding bill.
Yeah, who us taxpayers must continue to support.
Yes, it's really very sick.
Yeah. Well, anyway, 16 states so far have decided to sue President Trump.
Yes, the globalists hate sovereignty, and of course conservatism, which is why they stack the courts with liberals when possible, and when not possible, they'll use undercover infiltrators, as in Jesuit-trained Justice Roberts, appointed by skull and bones man President Bush, who fooled us all for a while, myself included, even saying he was born again to get the Christian votes.
Well, it worked.
Yes. And that has been Satan's MO forever, as we also see happening in the churches, both Protestant and Catholic. It's somewhat easier to pick them out if you know God's word.
Well, because, you know, the word brings discernment.
And we don't even have to talk about the infiltrators in the Republican House last year, also called the Rhinos, as in Paul Ryan and others, which is why the funding for the wall also never happened when we did have the majority in the House.
Should we tell them the good news?
Oh, yes, please do.
Jesus is coming soon.
That's right. And if you are the bride of Christ, you can see him too and escape the earth's coming judgment.
Yeah, amen to that.
As you know, we have two Muslim congresswomen, one from Michigan, Rashida Tlaib, and the other from Minnesota, Ilhan Omar, who have both shown their colors of anti-Semitism and hatred for Trump. But also, in order to get elected, Ilhan made the statement that she fell in love with democracy.
And the Dems bought it hook, line, and sinker.
Yes. And now it has come out that the father of Ilhan's children is really her brother, which she denies. But even worse is she has ties with Hamas / Muslim Brotherhood, and in fact, we'll be speaking next month at the Muslim organization called CARE.
Yeah, that's the Council of American Islamic Relations.
All this while the left is trying to stir us all up with these made-up hate crimes.
Thankfully, a few of these hoaxes are seeing some light.
Amen. Okay, another huge sign that we are nearing the end, as we talked about last week, is the startup of the One World Religion of Revelation 17 being orchestrated by the Jesuit of the Fourth Vow, Pope Francis. also an infiltrator, where many more Catholics are calling for his resignation. But do your own homework on the higher-ranking Jesuits of the fourth vow.
Yeah, you know, it'll make your hair curl.
Mm. The other very pertinent end-time sign is, of course, Daniel 9:27 peace treaty, which I am reading that President Trump still has every intention of unveiling his peace plan for Israel, but not till summer now. Due to the Israeli elections on April 9th, he wants to give them ample time to form also a stable coalition government. Meanwhile, Jared Kushner and others are still meeting with the VIPs of the Arab world to shore up allies of influence so that they will convince the Palestinians that they just got to make this deal.
Yeah, Trump's delay just brings it closer to the fall feast.
That's right. Very exciting for the bride, as we have discussed numerous times.
And will again, that you can be sure of.
You think? That's true.
All right, then. You can send your end-time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministry.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Please consider a love offering, and we'll be sure to add you to our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministry.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning.
And to those of you who are being blessed by this programming, consider partnering with us, even just $10 a month from those who might be listening right now, would help to pay this airtime and other expenses.
Okay, let's talk about Hosea.
Yes. Well, last time we gave a one-sentence description of each of the 12 prophets who wrote their books, inspired totally by God, which were included in the Tanakh.
Also referred to as the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm. So today we will begin giving a little more information on each one, so to stir you up to read the 12 prophet books in full, or at the very least, those who particularly spark your interest. And we begin with Hosea today, who has certainly written a prophetic account to pique anyone's curiosity.
Remember, Jesus did say that he was the spirit of prophecy.
Right, in Revelation 19. So to ignore these prophetic books is to ignore a part of Jesus.
We should want all of him.
Oh, yes, right. Not just what we think we like or what tickles our ears. But I must admit, the writings of the prophets, well, they do tickle my ears for the simple reason that we can better understand these days we are now living in. And we see the most obvious typology in the book of Hosea, whose name means God brings salvation.
Yeah, you know, Hosea ministered up north during a time of prosperity and growth.
Yes, also called Ephraim after the largest tribe. But interesting that right now, America too is experiencing a time of prosperity and growth, more jobs, etc. So keep that in mind as we continue, because inwardly there was high moral corruption and extreme spiritual adultery. It was just permeating the people as a whole. So God, as a picture of himself, instructs Hosea to marry a lady of harlotry. Hosea chose Gomer. And then later, when she confesses her sins of adultery and gross unfaithfulness and repents, Hosea offers her redemption, which also happens, of course, with Israel more than once, showing the love of God no matter what they did and what we do today. And, of course, we need sincere repentance.
Not to get off the track, but I often think of David and his adultery with Bathsheba.
And also the murder of her husband. And yet, upon his repentance, God calls David a man after his own heart. That helps us all accept God's forgiveness for our many infirmities, no matter how bad. However, we must also point out that we can often reap what we sow while on earth. There can be consequences to our gross sins, as in David losing his firstborn son between him and Bathsheba.
So they both had to deal with that.
Yes.
Okay, Hosea was the messenger of God to his wayward people in the northern kingdom.
Yes, and there are two scriptures that God told Hosea that really reveals his typology. The first one is Hosea 11, verses 7 and 8.
My people are bent on backsliding from me. Though they call to the Most High, none at all exalt him.
So in other words, when in trouble, they'll pray for help. But when times are good, they ignore the worship of him. So, true, very much today. So, continuing verse 8.
How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? My heart churns within me. My sympathy is stirred.
Now that is moving. And we read in the last chapter, 14, verse 4, where God says,
I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them.
Hosea, beginning with the unrighteous King Jeroboam II and various other evil kings, ministered to Israel for over five decades. And again, they were enjoying tremendous prosperity. The problem was that they were idolaters. The people were making sacrifices on heathen altars. Adultery was prevalent, and occult ritualistic prostitution abounded. Hosea attributed their wretchedness to a lack of knowledge, brought on, of course, because they lacked a relationship with the living God.
Yet, this teaches us how God loves his people.
Yes, with an everlasting love, in spite of their corruption.
Well, unfortunately, he had to pronounce judgment to correct them into repentance.
That's right. And it didn't have to be that way. But in 722 BC, they were conquered by Assyria and sold into slavery. Thankfully, repentance came during this time, and God healed their backsliding. This typology is illustrated in the story by Hosea's willingness to buy his wife back from the practice of harlotry and from her enslavement.
You know, that's a great and moving story in itself.
Indeed. And now, we want to point out a couple of future prophecies God gave for us today and was partly fulfilled at Christ's first coming and speaks about his return. But first, let me point out that there really are basically two sections to this book. In chapters 1, 2, and 3, it portrays the faithless actions of Israel toward God, which are illustrated by the relationship between Hosea and his adulterous wife, Gomer, whose name means complete, which could be interpreted to mean different things, but I'm going to go with complete infidelity.
And then complete forgiveness.
That's right, for sure. You know, it's interesting that even the names of their children indicate the attitude of God toward Israel. The first was named Jezreel, and of course we know that's the Valley of Battles, which signified that God would punish his people. Also, Lo Ruhamah, which means not pitied, and Lo Ami, which means not my people, signifying the estrangement, which was the inevitable result of Israel's actions.
Well, you know, names were, they were very telling in those days.
Yes, for sure. Now, the second division is Hosea, chapters 4 through 14, which presents a detailed picture of the depths of depravity to which Israel had gone, with alternating passages of reproof and threats of punishment.
But, you know, we also see assurances of restoration.
Amen. So, let's look at three important passages, to me, for sure. The first being in chapter 12, verse 10, because it spells out that God uses multiple typologies through inspired men called the prophets. So could you read that? Verse 10.
I have also spoken by the prophets and have multiplied visions. I have given symbols through the witness of the prophets.
The word here translated symbols is the Hebrew word Dama, number 1819, meaning pictures of learning, metaphors, and similitudes. And as we said, the book of Hosea is a trophy of typology, as in most of the prophetical books. End time passages are actually scattered throughout its pages. Now, how you can tell which ones have been fulfilled and those still in the future are shown by the idioms that are used.
Well, you know, for instance, in that day, or day of his wrath,
or day of rebuke,
or as a woman in travail,
or in labor pains, or in tribulation, or affliction. Now, if you don't read these kinds of words in the near context of the passage, it would be a prophecy to Israel, and later fulfilled to them before our time today. We need to look for those key words to be sure it's still a prophecy for the end time church.
You know, that's a very important piece of knowledge for us today.
Because we have some teachers who perhaps unknowingly taking already fulfilled pieces of information and applying to us for today. Now, I also realize that history can repeat itself, but that factual information should be openly made known, stating perhaps this could happen again, but certainly not emphatically by calling the verse prophetic for us without the appropriate last days terminology.
Which we will see in Hosea 5:15 with the word affliction.
Yes. Here Jesus himself is speaking through Hosea. Could you read that?
I will return again to my place till they acknowledge their offense.
Their offense would be of unbelief. And we know Jesus returned to his place 40 days after his resurrection at his ascension, Matthew 28.
Then they will seek my face.
When?
In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me.
And we also have confirmation of that in Romans 11, Revelation 12, Ezekiel 38 and 39. But I also want to look at the next three verses in chapter 6, because Hosea reveals to us how long after his first coming that Israel will finally, as a whole, return to their Lord.
Come and let us return to the Lord.
Now, in Hebrew, this is Yahweh, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh.
For he has torn
or corrected us severely,
but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bandage us up.
Okay, here it comes, verse 2.
After 2 days, he will revive us.
Now, we know this isn't just two 24-hour days, but rather referencing the scripture in Psalm 90, verse 4, that a day to God is as 1,000 years to us. Therefore, we are talking of approximately 2,000 years later. Then, after the second day, or after 2,000 years from his first coming, which would be on the onset of the third day, the resurrection slash rapture, if alive, is already set to happen.
And on the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight.
Amen. Now do verse 3.
Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord.
Okay, so after the rapture, Israel as a whole and during the first half of the tribulation will pursue their Messiah.
But how do we know it's the Messiah and not just the Father as they did in the Old Testament?
Okay, now here's a great teaching time, because this was an eye-opener for me. When you look at the word for Lord in that verse, in Hebrew, it is Yahweh, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, which means the Father. But this time, it's followed along by the letters Aleph and Tav, which are Jesus' initials. Both the Father and the Son, for they are one. And the Jews will finally accept it and embrace it. during their affliction, or Jacob's trouble, also known as the tribulation. So you probably have heard that in the Greek, Jesus' initials are Alpha and Omega, the first and the last letters of the alphabet. He's the whole word, every single letter. And then we have the Aleph and the Tav, which is the first and the last letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Again, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is the whole word, every letter. Now, if you have an interlinear, you can actually see this yourself, which is why I always encourage, especially if you're a teacher, to have an interlinear, because sometimes you don't even have to be a reader of Hebrew, really, but just looking at the letters and seeing them, it's an eye-opener. And that's how I saw this. But it's also, Jesus' initials are also around scriptures in a lot of places, especially around the prophecies concerning Yeshua. And also in the creation of Genesis 1. So if you get an interlinear, just open it up and start looking for the Aleph and the Tav in Hebrew. It's just amazing to see it. And it's just sitting there all by itself sometimes. Okay, so now we're going to finish, because verse 3 adds the finishing description.
His going forth is established as the morning.
In other words, as we said, it's already a done deal.
He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and the former rain to the earth.
And there you have it. You know, there are two main rains in Israel. The major one in the spring and a major one in the fall. Now, as you know, he was crucified in the spring. And I believe that he will call us up to meet him in the air in the fall. And then return to earth with us 7 years later exactly. Again, in the fall, to set up his kingdom. Glorious times are soon ahead. Will you be a part of his coming kingdom? Is Jesus Lord over your life? If not, don't waste any time. Redeem your time wisely. And especially if you're a Christian, spend more time in his word. You need that discernment now more than ever, so that you can recognize false prophets, these infiltrators. But it's the word that's going to give you the wisdom and the discernment to do that. I will leave you with the Aaronic blessing. Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yunecha. Yaseh Adonai panav elecha v'yasem laha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And by the way, your English translation says it a little different. It says, may the Lord bless you and keep you. But I have to tell you, something else I saw in the interlinear is that it actually says the Lord will bless you and keep you. And he will make his face shine upon you, and he will be gracious to you and lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So there you have it. So till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for our president and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, well, you're going to prosper in all ways. Psalm 122, verse 6. Okay, hopefully you'll get a chance to read Hosea this week, and check out Joel, because we'll be in there next week and maybe another one. So, till next time, don't forget to send me in your prayers. I do pray for you individually. And we love you, and see you next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.